Lakona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening, everyone. This is Shusada. Welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. We're so happy to be with you tonight, and we have a lot to cover, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Take a nice deep cleansing breath, and let's clear the space. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the Order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the Sapphire Blue Ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light to surround each one of us. And I ask that these lights be brought down to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. And I place myself in service to anyone listening tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. And because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Good. Let's get started. I'm going to make a little mini announcement. Since this broadcast goes out kind of all over the place, I'm just going to make a brief announcement for someone out there doing very, very valuable work. Her name is Patricia Cota Robles, and her website is eraofpeace.org. Patty does really profoundly beautiful work on the planet, and she travels around the country and gives free day-long seminars. And this Sunday, she has a seminar being held in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is kind of in our backyard. So a bunch of us are going to be heading up to see her. If any of you are in the driving distance to head out to see it, it is free. So you can go to eraofpeace.org and you can register there online so that they know to count you in. Again, her work is really beautiful. And if nothing else, go and just be part of the energy, because it's wonderful stuff. Okay. So we had a very potent satsang session here before this program. And PLAN asked me if we could reproduce it for the radio, because she unfortunately had to miss our physical session. And I'm going to do my best to do that as best I can, because I know where I started, but as far as where it went from there, I don't know that I can replicate that. But we'll leave that in the hands of something far greater than me to figure out. So we'll start where I started, if I can remember that. Okay. if we go back to the one of the very first things that you learn in dissolution work, it is what created the fall in consciousness. Okay. So remember that humanity as a whole is, as I always kind of say, you know, suffering from amnesia of sorts. What you experience in humanity on the planet is a collective consciousness that has fallen, meaning, you know, not like in the biblical term that you're all sinners, as far as it being a bad thing, it was a very innocent thing. Consciousness attached itself to a concept. And it was the attachment to that concept that created what we experience as the fall. And the fall only means that at that point, consciousness is locked into the identification with that concept and every other concept involved in it that it first identified with. And that concept was one little tiny letter, and that letter was I. Now I'm going to talk to you and allow you to just to take all of this in, just even from just a mental place, and that's fine, and let the energy attack where it's going to attack, and you don't need to be aware of that. But from a mental place, the understanding needs to be that spirit or God or consciousness or whatever, light, whatever you want to call it, is singular. Okay, your divine nature as God is beginningless, endless, formless, singular, being, knowledge, and bliss. That is what you are. Now, that's not separate from what God is. It is within the totality of what God is. All right? You are individuated within the body of God. Body, and I'm using that term very very loosely here, but within the construct, let's say, of God, of all that is, you are an aspect of that. But you are not separate from any aspect of that, and neither is anything else. So you are, at the very core of your being, single, as is all of creation, both seen and unseen. So again, if we go back to, I like to use things like beach balls and stuff as my examples. If we look at a beach ball and pretend that the beach ball is the divine, then everything in existence, seen and unseen, past, present, future, all exists within the beach ball. And the beach ball is the only thing that does exist. Okay? Like cells in your body, like fish swimming in a sea. Fish are individuated, but they're all part of the sea. The sea runs through them, right? Literally. And so you are an aspect of God. Now, when consciousness, see, the thing is, all concept can kind of float around, and that's fine, right? Well, consciousness looked at a concept, and the concept created in God mind, the concept was I. And so we call that the concept of separation. Why? Because in the only way that we can term it here, if there's an I, it means there's a you, right? You understand? If there's I, there has to be you. One doesn't exist without the other in language, because language is polarized. It's the only way you can experience it. So when consciousness looked at this concept of I, and then identified, literally saw itself as being that, and took it on as something that would define it, right? When I say identify, that's what I mean. It literally took it on as something that now defines it. At that point, consciousness fell into an unconscious state. And it is that unconscious state that the personal self exists in. So in the moment when consciousness fell, presumably, it didn't actually happen, but we'll talk about it as if it did. Because you have to have some way of understanding the work that's being done here. It's not true. Consciousness actually didn't fall. It didn't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere for it to separate itself out of or to move itself to. It just doesn't exist. Remember, the beach ball is all that exists, and consciousness is within that. So even if it forgets who it is within it, it's still within it. There's nowhere to go. Okay, so just that, just the very basis of that, it just can't be real, because there's no way it can be separated out of the state of its beingness. Okay, this is really important, because that one concept created the experience that consciousness on the individual level and the collective level is living in. It creates this sense of polarized reality. One letter, one word, and now this becomes the predominant experience. So the very first thing, or one of the very first things that my students learn, is that your entire sense of who you are and the life you live and the reality that you're experiencing is faulty. It doesn't stand up to logic even. It's irrational. If you really look at it and you really pick it apart, it doesn't make any sense. Because how can you be separate from anything if everything exists within a whole? Right? You can't ultimately separate out of it. It can't happen. However, here's the issue. The issue, if there was one, is that you now live in a world that was created out of a concept. And the only way to experience and actualize yourself as the Christ is to exist in the world outside of concepts. And this seems to pose a bit of a problem. If the personal self was born out of a concept, how could it ever escape that concept? I mean, really look at this. A baby can be born to a mother, and it could be given up for adoption and raised by another family. But if you look at the genetics and the DNA of that baby, does it belong to the adopted family? Nope. Doesn't matter where the baby ends up, it still has the blood of the mother, doesn't it? It has the cellular structure that was created within the mother. There's no separating that. If the personal self is born in a concept, can it travel outside of the concept? Is it even possible? And if you really look and you really sit and contemplate it, you will see that it's not possible. If the entire reality was created, manifested out of one concept, and your sense of identity came out of that, and now you're striving to return to a space where that identity does not exist anymore, can the one who is identified make the leap to the unidentified? Is it even possible? The answer is no. From a very rational, logical place, the answer is no. The personal self, this is why, you know, the whole thing behind the word enlightenment is kind of a joke. The personal self cannot become enlightened. Because the state of enlightenment is the state of living outside of concept. So who is it that's going to experience that? It's not the personal self. It was created out of a concept. It is a concept itself. The personal self, the identified you, your sense of who you are as a personality, your sense of who you are as a body in the world, your sense of who you are as far as your family and your relations and your children and your spouses and your friends and everything else, your nationality, they're all concepts that the consciousness that is you identified with and is identified with. Now, the cool thing about the lower mind or the personal self is that it will play all the roles on the way back to that place that it never left. Sounds very paradoxical, but it's very accurate. You know, the Course in Miracles, the journey without distance to the place you've never left. This is where it's very mind-bending when you sit and contemplate it. Because that personal self that is the seeker, who desires God, who desires ascension, who desires enlightenment, who desires truth, you choose your term, that being is incapable of attaining that which it seeks. Not because it can't try hard enough, but because it's impossible. The same way that it is impossible for the individuated divine aspect of you to be separate from God, it is also equally impossible for the personal self to be separate from polarized consciousness. Now, does that mean that it is also impossible to walk in this world from a level of consciousness that is outside of polarization? No, it's not impossible. And that's where the Christ fits in. Remember, Christed consciousness is the bridge between polarized reality and the I am. On the level of the I am has no concept, no idea that this whole duality thing is going on down here. Completely oblivious to it. However, the Christ is aware of it. And the Christ comes here in service to wake itself up, so to speak, other individuations. And the Christ can come here in service and get trapped here because it identifies with a concept. And I promise you, if you're listening right now, you are one of those individuations. Because when you came here in service, you were not fallen. But somewhere along the line, something caught. An identification was made, and then consciousness got trapped in the identification. Okay? It's not that that Christed being disappeared, because that's not the case at all. It's just not conscious here through your filters. Because of the filters, right? And those filters, those identifiers, are all of the attachments to all of the concepts in existence. And they're infinite. And when you start looking at all the concepts that your own personality is attached to, at a certain point, you will witness that you could just go on forever. There is no ending to them. Of course not. Just as the divine is, you know, beginningless and endless in its own way, so is the shadow of the divine. Those concepts will go on forever. And this is the true work. And this is where, you know, I talk a lot and bring up the term spiritual warriors a lot with my students. Not for anything that's going to give someone some kind of ego boost, like, oh, I'm a warrior. That is not the point at all. But when you have a moment and you see how subtle that is energetically, when you move from the state of non-polarization and the energy of polarization comes in and you witness it and you see how simple it is to fall into a place where you believe it, then that's when you understand how strong you have to be to walk this path and actually walk off the life-death cycle. Because you have to be capable of moving through the world from a space of non-attachment to any concept. And that usually brings up a lot of resistance in people because mind runs all over the place with that. You know, I mean, even if we just go with kind of the basic, you know, you have to drop your concept of good and bad. Oh my gosh, there's just that right there will send people right over the edge. They'll just start running because just as soon as you challenge someone to stop viewing, say, a murderer as bad, you're going to lose 90% of the people right there. And they're going to use all kinds of proof, you know, from the world to show how bad it is. And this is where the challenge truly comes in. As I was saying to the group earlier tonight, it was the great teaching of the Buddha, was the teaching of his experience under the Bodhi tree, right? And his experience with the demons that came at him. And people hear the story, and I think what they think is like literally demons coming at him. And it's metaphorical. And you see this clearly at some point along your work. You will see it. You understand what those demons are. The demons that come to tempt the Buddha in the story, right, are just concepts. So the concepts, when they're attached to, appear to be true, real things in the outside world. But they actually aren't, because the outside world is literally just a projection. It is the projection of the unconscious collective. That's what the outside world is. So every concept exists there, and they're all going to present there, aren't they? They will all present there. And remember, mind is singular. It's singular. So the collective is singular. Regardless of how many billions of people are on the planet, it's one collective and it is singular. There's one mind. There's one mind that is functioning from a fallen state of consciousness. Just one. And every single aspect of it shows up in all the individuations. And every concept that has been attached to, and the opposite side of that concept, because this is a polarized reality, has to show up too. So if you are in a space where you're starting to look at the concepts you've attached to, the struggle comes when you look outside to the world. Because the world will offer you all kinds of proof that that concept is real, you see. And we'll use death as a beautiful example someone would say, you can't tell me that death isn't real. Here's a cadaver. There's it. That's proof right there. You can't tell me that death isn't real. They actually have, you know, used like the equivalent of Carillion photography to literally photograph a soul leaving a body. That's death. That's real. You can't tell me that disease isn't real. Here's a person that's, you know, full of cancer. You can't tell me that hunger isn't real. If you don't eat, you die. You can't tell me that the need for sleep isn't real, because if someone doesn't sleep, they basically go crazy. So it seems, doesn't it, that there's all this proof that the world we live in is real. And it, you don't have to look far. So pick your concept, whatever it is, and you'll find proof of it very quickly. And that's the challenge. The challenge is to begin to challenge the concept and hold on to that space where you will not be wavered. I don't care what it looks like in the outside world. That's not true. Death is not real. As soon as you agree that it's real, you are completely locked into the system. And I wish I could tell you it's as easy as just kind of changing your mind and seeing everything as not real anymore. And it would be beautiful if it was that simple, wouldn't it? But the work is experiential. So it's not enough to take in a mental understanding. You have to actually walk it out. And you walk it out in the world. That's where it gets actualized. In the world. I hope that this is all... You weren't with us, Pelion. Is it making sense to you?
Perfect.
Okay. All that work for one word. Okay. So I'll give any of you an opportunity, if you do want to call in and ask me any question about what I'm talking about tonight, please feel free, and I'd be happy to answer what I can. Because this is important, and this is really something where the personal self really wants to just run or fight or like whatever it is that it goes through. But this is not a fun place for the identified self to sit, because literally, you know, walking off the life death cycle means that every concept has to be challenged and seen through. And that means all of them. And what did I say? There's no end to them. So that seems like an impossibility, doesn't it? The personal self does that work. And this is the funny part. You know, the personal self can't make the leap, but the personal self will do all that work. And I wish I could tell you exactly what it is that allows for the moment when it's seen through. Grace, I don't know. I wish I could tell you. At some point, I'll give you a better answer. The personal self can't do it, but the personal self has to, and this is kind of the paradox, it can't make the final leap. It can't step over the threshold, right? It can't leave its own creator any more than you as God can leave yours. So it doesn't have to, you know, when I say we're not here to change anything, that's exactly what I'm pointing to. There's nothing to change, because you aren't the one truly, you aren't the one experiencing what you think you're experiencing anyway. So what I did earlier with our group here in Charlotte was I had them all kind of close their eyes, and I said, and I'll have you do the same. So close your eyes and take a minute, or at least a few seconds, and imagine yourself as who you think you are in a non-polarized space, whatever that looks like. Meaning, unidentified with the concept of polarization. So you are now in a space where your entire reality is all you, and you know it. You as God, and you know it. And you get to interact with all these individuations, but they're all still you too. And you get to manifest instantaneously. So because you are a creator as God made you, you get to create whatever you want to create and play in it and explore in it. And you could take it apart and put it right back again. Or you could take it apart and leave it because you're done with it. But there's nothing outside of you that can take anything away. There's nothing outside of you that can come and mess with your stuff. It's all you. And now take that space. This is where you live, right? Anything goes where you live, right? So what's the concept of anything? And now take that individual and move them into this world that you live in. And see what happens energetically when you feel that shift. Pielian, I'm going to ask you what you witnessed.
I witnessed at first that mind went straight to what its idea of what PLN is, looks like, whatever. But then I went into like nothingness. It was just literally nothing, which was really cool.
Freak a lot of people out, but for you, that's cool. That's good. Okay. So what I really am interested in is the movement from that space for you and then into this world. And what did you witness in that?
Heart.
So explain.
I witnessed becoming love. It was, it's kind of trying to think how to explain it. It just felt like I was here to just be of service, move from that place, just not even be of service, because I feel like that's like a sort of a desire.
Okay, so stay with that, right? And close your eyes for me for a second. Okay. Stay in there. Mm-hmm. Now I want you to bring more of this reality in on her. Her children, her job, the world as it exists here. And I want you to tell me what happens energetically as you allow more and more of that world to settle in.
I feel it compressing down.
Yep. Why?
Concepts.
Yeah.
Here you have an idea of what it's like to be a mom, have a job, support the family, all that stuff.
Okay, excellent. That's excellent. And I'm so glad that you came in from the place you came in from, because you actually just illustrated what happened. You truly just illustrated it. It's beautiful. So you can see in what PLN was just saying that there is this space where outside of any concept, that Christed level of consciousness can be here in the world in a very joyous place, right? Regardless of what the world looks like and regardless of what concepts are held by that collective. But the longer that she sat with all of that stuff, the more she felt it compressing around her. And I'm very glad she used that word, because, you know, the divine you is your heart, your spiritual heart, and it is ever expanding. However, polarized consciousness is the exact opposite. It goes around that spiritual heart and it compresses down. So that is the exact experience, that constriction that happens. It's not that your heart went anywhere. It's just that you lose the ability to experience it because of all of the contraction that's around it. So the world itself, remember, if we look at it from the space of, you know, go back to what is God and what are you as God? You are beginningless, endless, formless, single, being, knowledge, bliss. You are expansion. Beginningless and endless. That's expansion, yeah? What's the world? The world is contraction. What's the physical body? The physical body is contraction. Just the physical body alone is contraction. And you feel it. You go into deep meditation where you've completely removed from the form, and you go back into the form after meditation, and you feel it. It's like putting on this tired, old, achy suit. It's like, ugh, and it's heavy. Because it is contraction. It's constriction. That's what this reality is. It's the shadow to what is real. And that beautiful essence of you came in unattached to all of the concepts floating around in this reality. And at some point, something connected. And that's all it takes to end up stuck in the level of patterned consciousness. Yeah, the beautiful thing is that the divine pokes through the shadow. It's present in the shadow to help wake itself up, to help remind itself, oh, this is not who you are. This is not real. This is not real. And that can be a wonderful exercise too, just literally reminding yourself over and over again, this isn't real. This isn't real. So what I want you to really look at now, from the level of a very beginner or the level of an advanced student, it doesn't matter, because this work goes on until the end. You've got to look at concepts that you are attached to. You'll find that there are concepts that are fairly easy to let go of. And there are some that are so deeply entrenched that it seems like it would be impossible to see through them, such as you being the physical form. It's very easy to mentally say, I know I'm not the body. But if someone walked over to you and cut your foot off, I promise you, you're going to think you're your body. Or if someone even physically threatened you, it would be very quick that you would believe you're that body, because you would react to the threat from a fearful place. So, you know, mind finds it very easy to get kind of cocky you know, with some spiritual understandings. Oh yeah, I got that one. You know, I get it. I'm not my body. I go into meditation and my body kind of goes numb. I get it. I'm not the body, you know, and you think you've got it. Well, no, there's more. It's one of the last things to go. The attachment to the physical form. Now, all these experiences are helpful if you happen to do, like, a lot of people have, they do astral traveling, you know, out-of-body experiences. That's a very helpful thing because you experience yourself literally out of body and you see the body from your vantage point and you know on a level that it's not you. However, when you're back in that space where your awareness seems to be looking out through the body, it's very easy to get wrapped up in that again. So, you know, start, if you're a newer student, start with concepts that are lighter concepts, you know. Just start where you have opinions. That's where you start. Got an opinion about something, and you've got opinion about just about everything. So pick one, and then look at the concept that sits there that you have attached yourself to. And then remember that you're going to see the unconscious side of that opinion that you're carrying in your outside world. It's you. There's nothing outside of you. It's all you. Remember, the things you can't own as you get projected out into the outside world because they're unconscious. The world, the physical world, is the collective unconscious made manifest. That's it. That's it. That's simple. And it's all running around, believing itself to be real, believing all the concepts to be true. And none of it is true. True within the story, yes. But in highest truth, not true. And that's the challenge, right? Once an individual, you know, once that personal self dissolves out and then you have a Christed being, right, or an enlightened being on the planet, at that point, that individuation doesn't ever forget. I mean, there isn't a second that knowing disappears. Up until that point, it'll come and go. And you spend more and more time in the space where you do know. And less time in the space where the identification is really running the show, right? But remember that personal self. I mean, it's engaged right up into the end. And it is, it serves its purpose here, and, you know, that's fine. It's not a bad thing. It's not evil. You're just there to witness it because you aren't that. You're the witness of it, but you are not it. So spend some time. How are we doing time-wise? I can't hear you, honey. I'm sorry.
6 minutes.
Okay. So I would ask you to... 6 minutes before we have to meditate? Yes, okay. So I would ask you to look at all that and then... Also, go back out into your happy non-polarized place, right? Whatever that looked like for you. And now ask yourself the question, you know, in this space, would I be, or let's make it even better. You are in that space. Okay, so you close your eyes and you are non-polarized individuation. Now in this space... Am I adverse to anything? Is there a reason where I would not want to experience anything if I can manifest anything, you know, instantaneously? If I can dismantle, rebuild, in the blink of an eye? Would there be any reason that I wouldn't be open to exploring anything? Of course not. If you are bliss, and you know yourself to be expansion and beginningless and endless, you are eternal. Would you be adverse to walking into a body that's in pain? If you know that you can change it in a moment? No, of course not. Would you be adverse to walking into a body that is poor? Or walking into a body that had emotional trauma? Walking into a body that doesn't have all of its mental faculties? Would you be adverse to being a different race? A different sex, a different sexual preference? Would any of it matter at all? Or would it all just be seen as playtime? Just something else to experience. Of course, there wouldn't be anything stopping you from going, okay. You know, if an actor has a chance to play a role that's outside of his previous scope, I'm guessing he'd be pretty excited to do it. Ooh, a new challenge. Something different. Let's see if I'm up to that one. Right? And so are you any different? Is the essence of you any different than that? You're so stuck in your pity party over your life and all the miseries that you have to go through that you don't remember being on the other side and going, ooh, let's be this person this time. Oh, that'll be good because that karmic debt can come forward this way and we can balance it out and be done with it. You see, there's no reason why you would have any issue with any of it, no matter what it looks like. You just wouldn't have an issue with any of it. So take that piece, and you know, it sounds like such a simple exercise, like it's such a simple thing to do. It's hard to hold it. It's really hard to hold it. It takes a real commitment. But take that piece and now apply it to your world. Apply it to your life. Why am I so down on myself about, you know, not having more money in my 401k? Why am I so nervous I won't have enough money to retire on? I love that one, you know. Look at the banking system in the world, people. It could collapse tomorrow. It doesn't matter how much money you've saved. You're going to be in the same boat with everybody else. And is it likely to happen? It might be. It's the collective unconscious, correct? That's what the banking system is. It's you. And every concept you've attached to money, every concept you have that says money is scarce and money is important and money is not for most people. Money is what? The root of all evil. That's a good one. And all of those concepts are held within the collective and they're all popping up in the world. So is it any wonder that we're watching everything collapse? And what does it do when you sit in the spot of being paranoid and getting upset over the potentiality of, say, losing your money? Does that make it more likely that the banking system is going to collapse or less likely? Look at that. You have a direct impact on that. Remember, it's all you. It's all you. If you're attached to having money in the bank, watch the banking system fail right in front of your eyes. If you're attached to, you know, being secure in your house, watch yourself lose it. or watch people around that you love lose theirs. You're going to have to see it someplace. It's going to be brought right to your front door. It has to be, because you're unbalanced. If there's attachment, it's not balanced. When it's balanced, you know it's balanced because the attachment's not there anymore. Okay. So this is a very strong session tonight. I hope you stick with what I talked about and hold it as long as you can. If you have any questions or comments, please send them our way. Questions for Shusada at theshambhalacenter.org. Or I don't even know if maybe on our BBS page there's a place you can make a comment too. But we'd love to hear from you. Okay, so we're going to go into our meditation. We got a nice, beautiful Gayatri mantra tonight. Enjoy it, and we will be with you next week. So much love to you. Good night.